Well, good morning. I'm just going to make a statement right off the bat. If you're not saved, go stand outside for 5 minutes and you're not going to want any part of hell, okay? I'm telling you, I've been waking up every morning going, oh man, it's going to be so nice out here at 6:30. Not. So we praise the Lord in seasons of hell and in seasons of rain and shine and whatever comes with it. So I'm so excited that you're here. I'm so thankful for our praise team, man. They put in so much effort. And if you don't get the time to say thank you to them, would you please make the time, make an effort to go to them and say thank you so much for being here and participating as part of the church. Because this is something that they don't get paid to do. They do it out of their own free time. So I think you coming by and saying thank you and I appreciate you and man, you're really good at this. Is something that they really, really, really deserve. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. We're going to start kind of our climb through the Bible. We talked through the Beatitudes, and that's where we kind of left off. And we finished with the Lord's Prayer last week. And so we're going to talk about, we're going to go through the parables of Jesus. Now, what you have to understand before we start the parables of Jesus, you've got to understand the word parable. The word parable means come alongside, which means that Jesus is going to take something that most people know from maybe if you're a mechanic in here, he would be talking about a car, but you would know the basics of a car. Now, for me, if he starts talking any sort of engine language at all, I'm out because I one time had something go wrong with my car and I was like, the propeller's not turning. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, the propeller, like, are you driving a plane? What is this? And I heard it's called a fan. And they're like, yeah, oh, that's the fan. It's not turning. And so Jesus will take like modern things that you know. And what he does today is he's going to take agriculture and he's going to come alongside that. And he's going to take something that's pretty obvious to us because we've seen it, we've been a part of it, and then he's going to come alongside it and he's going to teach you kind of a kingdom purpose. This is what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, because we know this from the Beatitudes, because everything starts to climb from the Beatitudes. When he begins to say, the kingdom of God is like this, this is the purpose in which Jesus begins to teach. But what we have to be careful of as a person here, we don't just listen to the story, we take an appraisal of the story. Because it's very easy for us as a group of people to come into this room and hear maybe what you might call an okay sermon and go, well, that was a good story that Jesus taught, but never really taking the time to appraise it and go, okay, what was the meaning behind this? Because Jesus is going to use this term 3 times through these 3 stories. He's going to say, if you have ears, then hear. And the purpose behind that is that you can sometimes hear things but not do them. It's like the guy that was teaching the students, he had 20 trainees, and he asked a question to these trainees learning to drive a bus. And the question is this, you are driving a bus, and at the first stop, 8 people get on the bus. At the next stop, 10 people get off the bus, and 6 people got on the bus. What is the age of the driver? They looked at each other and they thought, well, I don't know. I mean, we started going through their book. Well, you have to be 25 years old to be able to take this. And so the common answer was they have to be somewhere around 50, 36, or 48, or the guy's got to be in his 40s. But the problem was, you're the driver. You should know your own age. Now, what's funny is some of y'all laughed from the very beginning because you got it. You're like, oh yeah, I was an active listener. I caught on. But some of you just now realize that you didn't even think of your own age, right? Because here's the thing, is we can hear the question, but not actively listen. And this is the problem that Jesus has. And this is why he's going to teach in parables. He's going to teach us this way because you have different type of hearers in this room today. And Jesus is going to teach this parable of the sower from a little bit of frustration. Because if you jump back to chapter 3, and I'm, let me just be a person that just realizes, if you don't know me very well, you're going to understand that I like to look backwards to read ahead. It's like, you've got to know what's going on. And for Jesus in this moment, he's had a pretty rough day. And the rough day is that You know, even his own family like came and got him. We're like, listen, you're talking a little crazy, and the things that you're saying is going to get you thrown in jail. And so they'd already reserved him a place at Eastern State. They're like, you're going to keep talking, and the things that you're saying are going to get you in trouble. So why don't you come home? We need somebody else to help us around the carpentry shop. Get back home. We'll take care of you. Be quiet. And so when they showed up, Jesus like, you're not my mother and brothers. My mother and brothers, those that listen to the Word of God. And then following that is, Jesus had had a ministry that started out where he's casting out demons, and demons are recognizing who he is. And so this really troubled the religious leaders in that day and age. And so they come to Jesus on the same day after his mom and his brother come in and say, hey, listen, you've got to go with us because you're crazy. The people that should have known more than anybody else that this is Messiah is now fighting against him. Like, listen, you're casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub. Like, Jesus kind of looks at him like, how can a demon cast out a demon? What would be the purpose behind that? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And so the two people that should have really known what Jesus' ministry was about, because his mother had been visited by an angel, right? Had been told several times that your son is going to be persecuted. If these things are going to be a problem, his ministry is going to be a problem. The person who should have had the most confidence should have been his mother, but instead she's trying to pull him away from God's plan. And also on the flip side of that, the people who were the most intelligent people who passed the Sabbath school, who should have understood how important what Jesus was doing, missed it. And so you see this frustration with Jesus when he tells this parable about how you hear. Because here's the truth about how you are listening today. It's one thing for me to preach a sermon. It's another thing for you to listen to the sermon. Because every hearer underneath my voice today has a responsibility to not just hear, but to do. See, Jesus' brother who tries to come and take him away from his ministry, one day realizes that that's truly the Son of God. And he writes in James 1:22, he says, don't just be a hearer of the Word of God, but be ye a doer of the Word of God. Be active in it. And for so many years of my life, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I was the person who sat in church just like most of us in here, and I heard the Word of God with never really having a deep desire to apply it to my life. And I think if I would have just stayed in that I wouldn't be in ministry any longer. Because ministry is a hard thing, and Jesus is going to talk about that. Because it's hard to preach and people not listen. Like, it's hard to give advice from the Bible, and I'm saying this from my own pastoral understanding. It's hard to give advice from the Bible, and those people come that week and you try to give them the Bible again and they go, well, I really didn't want that advice. I just wanted you to pray, and maybe your prayers are better than my prayers, and if you talk to God, maybe He'll get me out of the situation. And it's hard to prepare and know that only after this story 25% of the people are really going to get it. And so that can be a frustration. And this is kind of the frustration that Jesus has. Is he's like, the people that should be getting it are missing it. And so my question before we get into this, I want to ask you, are you really ready to listen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now and we put ourselves before you. And we set your word higher than ourselves. For many times in my life, Lord, I've put my own thoughts in front of your thoughts and my ways in front of your ways. And God, I just ask that as we begin to break down your scripture today, that our hearts will become broken down with it. That we'll have an active, ready spirit to do what you call us to do. That God, we just won't be hearers of the Word of God today. That we as people will be doers. And God, I pray that your Spirit would land on our hearts. That you would convict us in our sins. That you would convict us in the way that we listen. That Lord, today would be about honoring you. It's in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. So Jesus, after having a rough day, he ends up at the Sea of Galilee. And we know that this sea is kind of it's kind of the hub of a lot of business, but where Jesus was, he pulls himself away from the town. He's up on the hillside, and this is where it takes place, chapter 4. And again, he began to teach beside the sea. And I love this. This is Jesus' MO of operation. When things don't go well, he doesn't pout. He doesn't get in a corner and suck his thumb. What does he do? He just begins to gather people around and teach them the Word of God. He's really concerned about people. And it says that as he began to teach beside the sea, a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat. He sat in it while he was in the sea, and the crowd was on the land. Verse 2, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, now remember, a parable means to come alongside. He's going to teach them something that they probably have seen before, but he's going to put a heavenly twist on it. So look what happens. He said the first word, listen. I love that he does this because this crowd is a hungry crowd, but instead of saying, and I can see this inside of a church, is that sometimes I know that we get a little deeper than we probably should, and I begin to teach you some things, and the first thing that happens is this. I swear I'm looking at my Bible. And so I love that Jesus says this, listen! And you catch me doing this, and people make fun of me all the time. They're like, why do you snap at us? I'm like, because I really want you to listen. Jesus goes, listen. I'm about ready to tell you something that could change your life. But you've got to be willing to listen to it. And can I just say this? Did you come in here with this mindset today knowing that Jesus could literally change your life today if you just listen? He says, listen. And he's going to tell the story. He says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And they would have known this because they would have known that a sower had a bag and he'd have a bag of seed and he would walk the fields that he had prepared and he would throw the seed up into the air. And he says, so a sower goes out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. And then on other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no grain. And verse 8, and other seed fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And in verse 9, look what he says, how he ends his parable. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus calls us after this parable. He says, take an appraisal of what you hear. But like many people, they hear this story and they go, okay, wait a minute, what? So you're not going to teach us Bible, you're just going to tell us a story about a farmer. And yeah, that's good, but I don't quite understand it, because they would have understood that, you know, like if today this was the field, this would be the pathway, the hard barren ground that the seed is thrown up, and the birds of the air would come and swoop in and take it. But you would be the field, where you're setting would be the field where he would cast the seed, and they're trying to contemplate, like, what does this mean? But I love what the disciples do. They let the people go away, and look what happens. And in verse 10, and when he was alone, all the people were sent away. And when he was alone, those around him, including the 12, they asked him about the parables. So, think about this. They hear this story. Jesus tells them, listen, pay attention. If you have ears, hear. And I see them doing this through the story. Because, you know, they're part of the 12. They're part of the posse. They're part of the group that's supposed to be different than everybody else. And so I see them doing this as Jesus is teaching this parable about the sower the whole way through. They're like, maybe even grabbing their beards. Ears. But in their mind, they're like, I don't know what... Y'all remember the episode from Friends? Anybody in here watch Friends? Come on, be honest with me. If you watch Friends, Joey gets an encyclopedia, and this encyclopedia, you ever get in conversations where you don't quite understand what all your friends are saying, but you pretend to go along? And so Joey's like looking back at all these times they're talking about easy, simple stuff, and he's like, oh! And then in his mind, he's like, what just happened? And so I see this playing out with the disciples. They hear a story and they're like, just not along. And now the crowds have gone away because they don't want to look stupid. They pull Jesus in. They're like, could you you see how hard it would be to talk to Jesus because you want him to think that you're all put together and you're like, could you maybe explain that? Because I'm completely lost. And can I just say this? Because I'm a slow thinker. I'm thankful that the guys that Jesus picked were just like Sam Wilson. Like, were the guys that were like, I can play the game, but man, I really didn't get this. And how good is this that this is who Jesus chooses to speak these parables to? Are these guys that are confused, they're not getting it, they don't quite understanding it? For some of us in here, this is kind of what it's like every week. Like you hear, you look around and you see people nodding, and when you leave here, you go, why am I not getting what they're getting? I know what it's like to be there. Like I've sat in church all these years, and I've watched these people hear the Word of God, and yet they seem to get it, and I don't. I love that God is gracious, and He's patient, but He also allows us the freedom to come to Him and say, I don't understand. How good is that to know that we serve a God who doesn't expect us to know it all, that really wants questions from us? That He's patient. And here in this moment, we see that these disciples come to Jesus like, listen, we don't understand that. Like, we pretended like we got it, but now that we're alone, man, would you break this down? Because this is hard for me to understand. And this is Jesus' response in verse 11. He said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Now, what is the secret of the kingdom of God? Because we just learned this. It's the Beatitudes. It's Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, He's breaking down for people what it takes to inherit the kingdom of God. For you to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, here's what you have to do with your life. And so when Jesus tells them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, He's actually talking about Himself, because He says, listen, you're not able to keep the rules, I'm able to keep the rules, and if you'll trust that I'm better, you'll have the secret to the kingdom of God. I'm the secret. I'm the solution. And so He says to them, you're lucky that I'm here. Like when He says this, He says, you're lucky that I'm here because I'm the secret to the kingdom of God. The way that you inherit the kingdom of God is through me. But for those outside, everything is in parables. And He's going to explain. He's going to quote Isaiah chapter 6. Now, if you know anything about Isaiah chapter 6, that's the day that Isaiah sees God high and lifted up. King Uzziah has died. And he has this dream. And he sees this God, and he hears this voice, these angels singing, and the voices are crying out, who will go for me? Who can I send? And he can't even speak because he's an unclean person in the presence of God. And finally, you know, they take, you know, a coal fire, and they touch his tongue, and he begins to speak, and he hears the voice again, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I. But a lot of people leave the last part of Isaiah chapter 6 out. This is where you're going to find this verse. And this is what the Lord says to Isaiah. He's ready to go. He's ready to speak for God. He's already got his ministry plan figured out. He's already got it on a PDF, or he's got it on a PowerPoint. He's like, this is how I'm going to do ministry. He's ready to go for the Lord. And here's the response of God to Isaiah and his willingness. He says to him, he says, listen, they may indeed see, but they will never perceive. They may hear, but not ever understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So he basically tells Isaiah, here's what your ministry is going to be about. You're going to speak a lot of good things, and nobody's going to pay attention to a word you're saying. Enjoy your ministry. So Jesus, using Isaiah's ministry here, he says, listen, the reason I speak in parables right now is because certain people are not going to pay attention. They're going to just pretend to be in love with God, but yet never really be in love with God. It's talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 3. It says, having a form of godliness, but yet denying its power altogether. This is the type of people that are going to sit under my word. They're never going to really perceive what I'm saying to them. This is why people can sit under the word of God and not be changed at all. This is why for some of you, you're enjoying every second of this right now. You love what you're being taught. And there's another group of people in here that are like, can you just shut up long enough so we can get out of here? You have no concern for what the word of God's going to say to you. And so Jesus says, this is the problem. You can pretend your way in front of people, but I know the heart. Does that scare anybody in here outside of me? But the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Hebrews 4:13 tells me that all things stand bare and naked to one whom I'm going to give account to. Does that put fear in anybody else but me? That one day I'm going to stand before a holy God that knows all things, that everything stands bare and naked, which means nothing can hide from the presence of God. He's going to know every motive. He's going to know every action of the heart. And you're not going to be able to stand before God and justify yourself, because you'll know in the presence of God that nothing can be justified. That He knows the heart. But Jesus' point is that even though we may know that, we don't apply that to how we listen to the Word of God. So look what happens. Jesus, being kind, He says some really hard things to them. 13. And He said to them, do you not understand this parable? Now, what I'm going to tell you is the reason I started with this parable. This is the first parable that Jesus teaches. And from this parable, it is like the key. Like if you have on a map, and you have a key up in the corner that's going to have like a picnic table to show you so you can figure out the map along the way where you can have stops. Jesus is going to say, this is the key to all parables. For you to understand the other parables that I'm going to teach, because there's a lot of them that I'm going to teach, for you to get a good, clear understanding of how these things work, this is the key in which you go back to and you're going to look at what I'm saying. He says this, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the other parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. And so in this moment, Jesus is talking about Himself. He said, I'm sowing the word. So today I would be the sower. Anybody who uses the word. Now here's something I have to be very careful with. Because in Leviticus it says, don't mix seed. Now I know that's talking about the nation of Israel, other nations, and not intermarrying. I know that's what it's talking about, but that's what happened to the nation of Israel. This is why they could never really truly follow God, is because they were mixed seed. And I as a pastor, I have to make sure that I don't mix the seed. Because I'm going to tell you, when I started out in ministry, man, I love to base a sermon off of a story or a life experience, and that was the high point of the story. It wasn't the Word of God that was the high point. It was that story. And most people wish that I would kind of go back to that. I really like, you're a good storyteller, Pastor. And, you know, I like to hear a good story. I love to tell a good story. But here's the thing. This is the real story. And I have to be a person who's dedicated to not mixing the seed, because I don't want to mix philosophy and the gospel. Because usually what happens is, if I'm a person who wants to mix philosophy or life experience, that will trump the Word of God. I have to be careful that nothing trumps this Word. That when I throw the seed out, that it's pure to the Word of God and to the kingdom of God and who God is. Because for some of you, even though you're not listening in here today, because I can tell as a pastor who's listening and who's not listening, a lot of the people that aren't listening are below the age of 25. They go, " And then some of the people that aren't listening are above the age of 65 because it's nap time. You want to listen. If you're above the age of 65, you really want to listen, but you're like, boy, his voice is soothing. So it says, the sower goes and he sows the word. And what we've got to underline there is the word. It's talking about the word of God. Hebrews 4:13 says the word of God is living, or 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit and the bone and marrow to get to the intents of the heart. So we got to know that that word has to be pure. It can't be mixed with other things. So when I preach, this is why I study all week long. This is why I jump in, because James chapter 3 verse 1 says this. It says, let not many of you be teachers and preachers, because in your day of judgment it will be stricter. Because everything that I teach from this pulpit, I'm going to be held accountable for. And so no matter how much you think, well, that was fun or that was good, it doesn't matter what you think. I have an audience of one. Did I preach the pure, innocent word of God? And so that's the sower's responsibility. And then we know that the seed is the word of God. And here's the thing about the seed, and I love about it. Love about this. 75% of the soil, when the seed hits, it works. Like when we're going to go through this soil here in a second, we're going to see that there's only one soil that the seed doesn't work. And it's not because the seed's not good, it's because the heart was bad. And the other ones, even if there was just a little bit of receiving the seed, it grows up, it does something. And so we see that the seed is always good. But the main point of this story is the heart, and the heart represents the soil. It's how you listen today. Are you listening to what God is telling me to do? And so he's going to explain the three soils, and I'm going to help break that down for you. And he says, and those... the seed that falls along the path, when they hear, when that heart hears the word of God, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Because every person in that day and age would have realized that any person that had a bag of seed and they threw it up, there was always birds around them. It's like if you go to like some sort of like zoo and you start throwing things out to the birds, these other ravens and things, or you can just go to the Walmart parking lot and just stand there for a little bit with a bag of bread, and these things will, like, these birds are serious. Anybody ever been attacked by one of those blackbirds at Walmart? I have. I'm terrified. I had to go to counseling for it. But I mean, if I start dropping stuff, these birds are like, whoa, here's an idiot. Whoa, hey, whoa, follow this guy. That's why a little kid with an ice cream cone, boop, boop, and he got an ant trail behind him. Why? Satan is like that. For some of you, what it means is as you're hearing, your heart is so hardened to the Word of God that you have no desire to hear from God today. And can I say that if this is you, if you're a type of person that's sitting here today and you're bored by the Word of God, it's not influencing you at all, can I just encourage you, if this is you, if this is your heart, I've been where you're at. I mean, being a preacher's kid, sitting in church, I've been bored to death. But can I encourage you to keep coming and keep listening? Because the Bible says that the Word of God is the hammer that breaks the stone. If I continue to sit underneath the Word of God, one day I'm going to come and that hammer is going to hit me right between the eyes. Don't give up on the fact just because your heart is hardened to the Word of God right now and maybe you don't want to pay attention. It's okay. Continue to serve the Lord. Continue to sit under the Scripture, because the truth is that one day it will get through. Not because you're good, because the Word of God's good. So if you're a person in here, your heart's hardened, you're like, well, should I just not come? No, sit under it. I mean, if you're a student in here, you go and sit in class and you're bored and you have to go. If you don't go, you get thrown in jail. That's not what's going to happen here. If you stop coming, I'm not going to search you out and bring a search warrant and be like, hey, listen, I'm going to throw you in prison. But sit underneath the word. But the second soil, I think, is very, very relevant. Because the second soil says that when he throws out the seed, it lands among the rocks. And then it takes root really quick, but the root doesn't go down. It springs up quickly and the sun comes out and it dies quickly. This is the type of heart, and you've seen this in people. They're sitting here, they receive the word, they're excited about the word, but once they leave this building, it goes no further. Because everything else just kind of just burns it away. And these are the most cynical Christians, or people, and I don't want to call them Christians, these are some of the most cynical people. These are the people that have tried God, tried church, went through a problem, and like, God, I'm going to give you my life, and they went out, and everything started coming against them. Like, listen, this God thing didn't work, and they become the most cynical people. I know some people that will never darken the door of a church because they heard a little bit of the good news of who Jesus is, but they never really trusted it with their heart. They just thought it would get them out of a problem or out of a jam, and that didn't, and now they're the most cynical people, and they'll tell you, man, I don't want to go to church because that doesn't work. Christianity doesn't work. These are cynical people. Jesus says, this is exactly what will happen. Then there's some seed, when it's cast out, it falls among what? The thorns. It has a good root system, but as it grows, it intertwines with other roots that choke it out. And he calls the cares of the world. And I think the majority of people that sit in churches on Sunday, this is the heart in which the word lands. That I think with good intentions, you want to serve God and you want to do what God tells you to do, but you have so many other things that are going on. You say to yourself right now, what do you mean? I've got to read my Bible every day? I need to tell people about Jesus? I need to tithe? I shouldn't listen to anything other than Christian music? And you see this and you go, now listen, I'm not saying that's true because I love country music. Like rap, that's of the devil. Can I get an amen from the kids? Is that of the devil? You're lying. You got it going in your ear right now. I just don't see it. You have those micro Bluetooth things in your ear. Rock music is of the devil. I'm going to be honest, Southern gospel music. The wrong crowd to be saying this to. But it's not bad movies and bad language and bad music. The problem is that following God is just not something that's a priority. And Jesus says, and when you sit here and you hear the word of God, there's really no desire to trust it. And I think so many people fall within this soil inside of the church. Is that you think that one 45-minute sermon is enough. Without ever picking up your Bible throughout the week, without ever getting onto your right now media, without going to Sunday school, without doing the things that will really grow you spiritually. Because I want to tell you, I'm not a real good preacher. And I know that 45 minutes with Sam Wilson is not going to make anybody better. It has to go beyond this. And this is why it says that don't just be a hearer of the Word of God, but be a doer of the Word of God. If you're too busy for the Word of God, you're too busy. If you're too busy to follow the principles of what God's called you to do, guess what? You'll always have a miserable life. And here's the problem with these people right here. It's like the farmer who owns an apple orchard. And he'll go out and he'll look at all of his trees, but the lowliest of all of his trees is on the farthest end of his property, right next to the road. Because what he'll say is this, is that he beats that tree by day to get the fruit off of it, and the thieves come in at night and they beat the other side of the tree to get the fruit off of it. The tree is always being beat up. Why is it always being beat up? It's because it's the one that's the furthest away from the farmer. And the people that live in this soil right here are the people that are most beat up. Because the world's beating you, and then you come in here and the Word of God kind of beats you, and so you're not a healthy tree. And this is what Jesus has deep concern. And then he says here, he says, listen, and then the last one is the good soil. And listen how it says about what it says about the good soil. But those that were sown on the good soil, verse 20, are the ones who hear the word. They hear the word, which means they apply the word. They accept it, which means they align themselves under it. They accept it. And then what happens? They begin to just bear fruit. And so the way that you know you belong to God is that you bear fruit. There's spiritual fruit that's happening in your heart. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now, the question is if you do have good soil, what fold are you? And I hate to admit it, I'm only the 30-fold. And can I explain to you why I'm part of the 30-fold? Like, I've grown up in church all this time, and I kind of know all the answers. And I just feel like I only have so much I can reach. But there's some of you, and when I look in inside this room, I know the story of your life. And you're part of the hundredfold. Because I feel like these people that have not really sat under the word most of their life, and now all of a sudden it makes sense, they just really trust it because it changes them. But I'll take the 30-fold. But I'm going to tell you, I love watching this 100-fold group. You want to know why I like watching this 100-fold group? I saw them in action on this week during VBS. I saw people who've been saved in the last year. They're the ones leading kids in songs, dressing up like an idiot. And if you would have told them a year ago that they would have been doing that, they would have been... And there's this radical change that's happened. It's not because they're good or they got their life together. It's because they trusted the Word of God and the Word of God has changed them. But in the next parable that Jesus is going to teach, you know, we don't have time. I know we've got to get out of here. He says, no, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. No. Sing that song? If you're a person of good soil and you're producing, you're not going to want to hide what you have. So part of the fruit that's going to be produced is living that out in front of other people, wanting other people to have what you have. But then the next parable, I think it's crazy that Jesus continues in this parable. He says, nobody hides a lamp. If you have ears, let them hear. Then in verse 26, he says this, and the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps, he rises night and day, and the seed starts to sprout and grow. But he has no understanding of how that works. Verse 28. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain of the ear. It's talking about sanctification. Nobody starts out bearing fruit. But those that put themselves in the Word of God, sit under the Word of God, they water their hearts with the Word of God, what happens? They begin to sprout. They begin to go to the process of bearing fruit. So my question is simple. Are you hearing the Word of God? Or are you doing the Word of God? Can I just finish with this? Here's what I find sad. That in this, we've got four different hearts. One that doesn't care for the Word of God, one that takes it but doesn't really let it go deep, one that sows it amongst the thorns and they have all these other things going on and they're trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in God, and then you have a group that just really receives the Word of God and they begin to blossom and grow. What's very sad is that out of that group, as I speak today, only 75% of the people in this room, or 75% of the people in this room, will walk away with no desire to serve God anymore. And as a pastor, you know how hard that is? To know that you preach and only 75% of the or 25% of the people are going to walk away and go, you know what, I really love what God's doing in my heart. And this is why pastors are leaving the ministry by the droves. It's hard to continue to preach and not see results. But God convicted me of my heart. He said, you know what? Who cares about what you feel towards this? Be thankful that I bless that side right there. Because there's some of you that are going to walk out of this room today and your life is forever going to be changed because no longer will you become a participant. You will begin to live it out. Why? Because the Word of God hit that good soil today. And the only way that good soil works is you water it with the Word of God. You receive it with an honest heart, knowing that there's things that are going to have to change in your life. And I'm going to tell you, I was 35 years old when it started to happen in my life. Even in ministry, I sat in church, and I was like the third soil. For church, I just wanted a paycheck. And man, when I hit 35, it's just like something happened in the Word of God. It changed the way that I spoke, the way that I preached, the way that I talked, because I had a desire to see the Word of God grow out of me. And my hope that somebody in here hears that today and their life is forever changed because now the Word of God becomes real. Are you a hearer of the Word of God? Or are you a doer of the Word of God?